the big leagues are a big deal. This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So we got to see the new guys yesterday, Kevin Barker. We got to see Jonathan VR batting third.
Yeah.
And we got to see Robbie Ray.
I thought he
coming in as a bulk reliever. It is Baseball Central. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, as always, 590-590 is the text line. Bob Nightingale joins us in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So what'd you make of Mr. Ray?
When he was a Diamondback, Matt Hergis, the pitching coach, had him going a little bit more side to side, right? That's why the walks went up, strikeouts went down a little. I know he struck out about.
What do you mean going more side to side?
Well, he tried to pitch level. He didn't try to go up and down, which is his strength. So what's Pete Walker and John Snyder did? We talked to John Snyder yesterday, and he said he was going to give him a call. He's going to look at video. Well, guess what they did? They set up right down the middle. They go to his strength, and all of a sudden you see him. 48 pitches, 36 strikes, 15 batters. He threw 14 strike ones, Jeff.
Yeah. Yes.
So you get ahead. He's not a location guy. He's a stuff guy. So what do? You give him a bigger target. In Arizona, they shortened his target. They made his target a little smaller, but trying to go into righties. You know, when you start going closer to a hitter, the target gets smaller. Why do that with a guy that's got lots of stuff? So what do? First start, don't change anything mechanically. Just make the target for him bigger. Get him going up and down. Get him throwing strike one. Getting ahead, which is the key to pitching. Anybody you ever talk to about pitchers, it is about strike one. And then get him to expand with something secondary. Now, breaking ball is going to have to be a little bit better to right-handed hitters. But you can't argue what he did yesterday by throwing strike one just because of his target to the catcher is bigger.
I mean, we saw the whole Robbie Ray experience, didn't we? Strikeouts and home runs.
Yeah. Well, he's going to
one home run. Well, I'm not going to make it sound like
he's going to give up hits.
He's going to give up hits because
he's not a location guy. He is
right.
A stuff guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's left-handed. He doesn't throw 100. He throws 93, 94. So every once in a while, you're going to throw one down the middle. That's what happened.
Yep.
And big leagues, right-handed hitters, they're going to hit that a long way. That's what happens. But you will take the stuff when it comes to elevated. For some reason or the other, when he elevates it at the belt, they can't hit it. They'll watch a hitter. They're late. They take it. They take weird hacks at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they do barrel it up, it's heavy, like they can't hit it very hard. If you can just get him to simplify that, bigger target, throw strike one, expand with something secondary, maybe you're onto something here. You know, you don't have to start him. He could be a bulk guy. He can come in after an opener, that kind of thing. You know, maybe you found something here a little bit. And again, the games they keep losing against the teams they shouldn't be losing against means they're going to have to win more games against the Yankees.
Yeah,
so now all of a sudden, instead of, you know, going .500 against the Yankees, now you got to win 6 or 7 of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to need all hands on deck to get this guy, Ray, throwing strikes. You take that anytime.
Yeah, that was, if that is what he is going to give me in that role, then I'm happy with him in that role.
Yeah.
Because I think as both Buck and Dan talked about in the telecast last night, Kevin, we are going to see, and it's going to drive us nuts because, you know, as we saw with Chase Anderson the other day, there are still people in the game who think that when a guy's dominating and retired like 13 dudes in a row, you let him go out for another inning unless he's at 120 pitches. There's stuff we're going to see that is going to drive us nuts. There's stuff we're going to see that probably at first glance doesn't make a lot of sense to us because we don't have access to the analytics. But these guys, Buck and Dan made a great point. If you watch the postseason last year and the drive to the postseason, this bullpen is setting up more and more. It seems to me like the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen did last. And you saw some of the funky stuff that Craig Counsell did last year with his team. And I think that's where we're going with this team. And I think as Buck and Dan said, it is possible that you are only going to see two true starters, Ryu and Walker, and the rest maybe kind of mix and match a little bit.
Limit how many times a hitter sees that one guy.
Yep.
You don't want him to see. If you can help it and keep that one guy from seeing that same pitcher more than two times, why not? You have all these arms that are doing their job better than than they have in the past. Why not use them? It's that kind of thing. And it's not like smart people are sitting around going, how can we screw the game up? No, they're doing it because it works. It's a proven fact that it works. That's why they're doing it that way. And it's cheaper for these teams to do it this way too, not going out spending all kinds of money on starting pitchers when you can spread it out to four or five pitchers instead of giving it all to one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes more sense that way right now. It's just the way they're doing it.
Yeah, and as I said, it's gonna be fun to watch. It's gonna take a little bit of faith if you're a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah.
It's gonna take, in some ways, maybe a lot of faith if you're a Blue Jays fan.
Also, on the flip side of that, Jeff, is there's gonna be times where that one guy coming in is gonna give it up, like Yamaguchi. Yeah. You know, 2 2/3, he gave up that one ball down the middle. You're gonna see that sooner or later. One of them guys is gonna give it up.
Yeah.
You can't go to this many. Every one of the guy you go to is not always going to have his great stuff. Yamaguchi all of a sudden starting to turn it around. You know, he's locating better. His stuff's got a little bit more bite to it. He looks confident on the mound. You know, he's gotten over the ball thing. You know, the ball's a little bit bigger here. He's starting to figure that out. You take every time he goes out 2 2/3 with a run, every single time. But you got to score more than two runs.
Well, no, I was going to say the Jays lost 3-2 to the Miami Marlins last night. Kevin, first time, we've been talking so much about this team's offense. First time since 2014, they've gone four games without hitting a home run. I got to admit, I didn't even know that they hadn't hit a home run for that length of time until I heard that. Until I heard that yesterday. Now we know, of course, Dante Bichette did that media availability during the Orioles series, and there's a lot of talk about the changes Teoscar and Grichuk and Vladdy Guerrero Jr. have made.
That's the meat of your order, right? There's six other guys in your lineup that...
Although Teoscar didn't start yesterday.
What, which, of course not. Yeah, you got to give him a day off. See, what is that? That was the 19th game of a 28-game stretch in 27 days. How dare they play a guy every single day?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you do that?
Anyhow.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, sometimes you scratch your head a little bit when your best hitter is not getting four at-bats in a game when the games all matter. And you have the Yankees coming up, which is, I jokingly said that at the beginning of the show, but when you lose to the teams you're not supposed to lose to, means you have to beat the Yankees more. And do you realistically think that's going to happen, Jeff? Probably not, because the Yankees have to win those games too coming down the stretch. And they're going to be throwing everything they got at them, and probably Judge will be back. They'll probably be healthier. I don't know. Sometimes 2 + 2 always doesn't seem to be four.
Mm. What did you make of VR? Jonathan VR hit third, drove in the first run on an opposite field.
Listen,
ground ball, ground ball to the.
He's a 9-hole hitter on this team for me.
Second base side.
I want him again. Teoscar Hernandez has to be playing for me every single day.
But the thinking was, you know why they did it? Lefty righty switch.
Okay.
Lefty righty, lefty righty, lefty righty.
He's been doing really good in the three spot. We say this thing about the lineup all the time. It doesn't surprise me on the things they're doing. He's not a 3-hole hitter on this team, right?
Okay.
And defensively, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you sort of hold your breath. Like, you know, he's a average defender. You know, the throws always aren't crisp. You know, we saw that yesterday. Rowdy Tellez bailed him out on the throw in the dirt. You know, sometimes he gets a little lazy with his feet.
Talking about VR here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to, you know, offensively, he gets on base. You know, he can create some havoc by his legs, which is a great thing. But defensively, balls hit to him. You know, it is what it is. Do you want him or do you want Espinal?
Well, offensively.
At shortstop. Well, what's more important, right? It's will he give you enough offensively or will he hurt you enough defensively? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I
like Espinal, but I would certainly rather have Jonathan VR playing than Santiago Espinal.
No.
He's not gonna
I want every single play that should be made at shortstop made. Who do you have more faith in to do that?
Oh, VR.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
And
defensively? Over Espinal.
Yeah.
Not defensively.
But I also want a guy who's going to hit. I need guys who are going to hit.
I guess.
I scored two runs yesterday. I didn't lose that game because
they scored 65% of their runs off of homers.
Right.
They got
but I'm
homers.
Saying I didn't lose that game yesterday because of Espinal's error.
VR's error.
Or VR's error. Lose the game. It also didn't help that the designated hitter got picked off second base on the, what was it? Sixth inning.
First and second, nobody out.
First and second, nobody out. I have no idea. I have no idea why he wasn't just Like, I just don't have any idea.
Okay, well, the question is, if you're that team, what do you do about it? It's a reoccurring theme here that they blow games because they're not fundamentally sound.
I'll tell you this. I don't think you can do anything because everybody does it. It's not like you can set an example.
Well, you haven't seen Kevin Biggio do it.
That's one guy.
Like, they don't have that guy that can raise their hand in a meeting and point people out, you know? Jeremy Burnett was that guy when I was coming up.
Right.
He was one of the guys that I didn't want to disappoint. It's one thing to have a coach come in. Rick Sweet was my manager in AAA. He used to come in all the time and flip the tables over and try and scare young guys. That doesn't work anymore because most young guys make more money than the manager does. They just laugh at them. So, but it's when you see your peer doing it to you, like raising their hand and basically saying, enough of that. Right, yeah. We need to win these games. They don't really have that guy on the team. Or Randall Gritch is not that kind of guy, I don't think. And Randall's been one of the guys that doesn't run the bases all down the right way.
That's what I was saying.
Down the stretch, you know, next year, right? It's do they go out and try and find that guy? That one older guy that can play the game the right way 99.9% of the time.
If he can hit in the middle of the order and play the outfield, right. Maybe.
There you go.
But you know, you've got a lot in your plate. And also, and I got to say this, I'm tired of hearing, these aren't young guys anymore.
No.
Randall Grichuk's not a young guy.
Yeah.
And I'll also tell you this, Randall Grichuk's got the security of a long-term contract. He's not a young guy. He shouldn't be afraid to stand up and say stuff. Teoscar Hernandez, he's not a young guy. We have this idea that all these guys are 21. We think they're all Vladdy. We think they're all 21 years old, that they're young kids. They're not.
Yeah.
Vladdy's mistake was, it was a boneheaded mistake.
Yeah, baseball IQ.
Baseball IQ.
Sure is.
But everything everybody tells me about Vladdy is that he has baseball IQ. Our friend John Schneider talks about that. He has baseball IQ. That was an egregious mistake last night made by a young player. That's one thing. When I see Randall Grichuk making base running errors or Teoscar Hernandez, that's a different thing.
I look at that differently. I want my best player not making those mistakes when it matters. I mean, they're in a playoff hunt. They're in the race. Like, these games matter. You got first and second. You're not a fast runner. Why would I get a big lead? You get a short lead, get a big secondary. Baseball 101. These things are not hard. You know, what's wrong, Jeff? What's wrong with bases loaded? Nobody out. Are you going to score on a base hit to right anyway? No.
I wonder if maybe what we're not seeing, and I admit I haven't seen a lot of other, I haven't seen every other team in the game play. But I'm wondering if some of the sloppiness we're seeing
baseball.
Isn't coming.
Everywhere in baseball, it's like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's systemic. It's not Blue Jays related. It's systemic.
It's not like when you first covered baseball and you went to spring training, how much did you see the guys running bases? A lot.
Oh, hell yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
No.
They don't practice running bases. And I know that sounds simple, but the more you do it, the more it's muscle memory.
Do you remember, guys, don't, do you remember,
all the
do you
time
remember
I
sliding
used to do
pants?
It in the minor leagues.
Do you remember sliding pants?
Teach you how to slide.
Yeah. The sliding pants.
Yeah.
Pants that are padded, and they
old
would
coaches would get out and practice it and do it in front of you so you can do it like they do it.
They would teach you how to slide.
They don't do that anymore.
They would teach you how to slide.
I
remember that.
It shows. But that's got nothing to do with it. You got to know, you say it all the time, court awareness, know what's going on around you, knowing the score of the game, knowing who you are as a player, knowing that you're not a fast runner, knowing even if you get a base hit to center field, you ain't scoring.
Yeah.
But it's okay to have bases loaded, nobody out, Jeff. What do you do about it? It's a theme on your team when you have to try and win games all the right way. They can't win games because their lineup's not good enough to overcome those kind of things. Mm. They have to play the game the right way.
But that's another reason I'm saying that I like having Jonathan VR, because they do need more offense in that lineup.
I guess. Yeah,
and you put your best offensive
team on the field, I guess, yeah.
And I understand that the Jays are all in Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire, but I'm about at the point now where I want to see Alejandro Kirk.
Maybe if he can swing the bat.
I know
the president's real high on him.
He's a tubby dude who can hit the ball hard.
Yeah.
He makes contact, and
he's a free swinger.
Well, he's a free swinger, but he's a smart player. He's got his bat is quick through the zone. There are a lot of teams in baseball that like him. Now, again, you look at his body type. Yeah.
John Schneider can tell him what finger to put down. I'm with you. If he can give you anything at the bottom of your order.
Well, especially right now.
Reese McGuire's giving you absolutely nothing.
No, and right now there's confusion when some guys are on the mound anyhow. So I would rather run Alejandro Kirk out there right now and see what he can do. Because if I've got catchers that are going to need to go through sign sequences six times anyhow, and they're not hitting, I'll run the young dude out there who has to do it six times.
You think they do that? You think they do that?
I think they might, yeah.
I think they're very high on Danny Jansen. Oh. I think Danny Jansen has so much on his plate that it really hurts him offensively. But I really do think that.
I'm saying right now, I'm looking more at Reese McGuire than
maybe.
Anything else.
Yeah, I'm with you.
On days that Reese McGuire plays, which is not often.
No.
It is just, it's ugly offensively. You know, again, yesterday. And
he gives you nothing. You can say it.
Ground ball outs. Ground ball and a double play. Now, okay, Teoscar Hernandez.
A lot of that's not his fault because he doesn't play enough. Like, he doesn't know how to control the strike zone enough. He doesn't have bat-to-ball skills. You know, he is if you play him three times a week and do it with a little consistency, maybe he can ambush, hang a breaking ball and hit you a home run when it matters in the sixth inning, something like that. But other than that, he's hitting at the bottom of the order for a reason.
I am not a fan of him starting games. You've got enough players right now. I don't mind having a Reese McGuire as a guy put in the eighth inning or the ninth inning.
Danny Jansen can't play every game, can he?
But I want to see Alejandro Kirk play. And I don't care about the lefty-righty thing. I want to see Alejandro Kirk. I want to see somebody who can contribute with the bat in that lineup because I still think, Kevin, I think the pitching's good enough. I mean,
the bullpen is real good.
This isn't smoke and mirrors anymore. No. This is we're over a month where this bullpen's been good.
Yeah.
And Charlie and Matt Bushman and Pete Walker, they figured their guys out now.
Yeah.
They know what Julian Merriweather's going to give them. They've got a better sense of what their guys are about right now. So the pitching is good enough.
Yeah.
Maybe for the first time since they had David Price, I look at this team and I go, this pitching is good enough. Not only to go to the postseason, the pitching is good enough to maybe win a series, depending on the matchup.
Yeah.
The pitching is good enough to maybe win a series. It's going to come down to two things for me. Can they score runs, especially in games where they're not going to hit home runs? You know, the Sunday game where they didn't hit a home run.
Yeah.
The Monday game, trade deadline. This got lost. They're 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position in a game they lost by one run.
Uh-huh.
You don't need a home run. Yeah, you don't need a home run at that point.
Yeah, stringing together hits is not what they're going to do. That's why they score 65% of their runs because of the homer. That Vladdy's got to get super hot. Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez has got to stay what he's doing. Randall Gritsch has got to keep doing what he's doing, and there's got to be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Who can the surprise be? And Ryu's got to go eight innings one time.
Oh, I think I know who the surprise
already is. VR?
No, I'm saying I think Kevin Biggio is turning it. Kevin Biggio is a much better offensive.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a surprise anymore. Like
He's much better than we thought he'd be last year. He's a better. I looked at him frankly last year as a guy. Yeah, he was a guy who's going to draw a walk and every now and then run into one.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
He's
a better hitter than I thought though.
I think he's a smart player. I think the smart players are far and few between. You know, he's not a guy that the talent jumps off the page at you. But when you see him play, he's like, man, I'd take four more of that.
Hyunjin Ryu will start tonight. They're going to see a guy who throws a bazillion and
3,000
miles and 9 miles
an hour. We're going to see if that Dante Bichette thing works or not.
Against Sixto.
He's a young guy.
Sixto Sanchez. What's a great name for a pitcher.
It's a tremendous guy that throws 175 miles an hour. It is, I exaggeration, obviously, but he is going to run it three digits at you. And he's going to continue to do it. He's a young guy. So it's going to be all or nothing with him. He's going to let it eat. We're going to find out if these guys can be short and quick, simple, you know, use quick hands, that kind of thing. This is where the Bichette thing, not being in the lineup, that's killing them. He is the one guy that eliminates hard throwers. He really does, right? You can get a couple of guys on base, and hopefully he comes up two times when it matters. Because he can hit velo, he can hit elevated fastballs. Because of the hand speed that he has, and Dante always says, because Bo does it. Well, that's unfair. Because Bo can do it better than
Bo's a freaking freak.
Well, the hand thing. You know, nobody has hand quickness like he does, right? Can leg kick it to his ear and still get the barrel in the zone quick and then buggy whip it. Well, just because Bo does it doesn't mean everybody else can do it. But that's where this is going to come into play. You know, hopefully they put their best lineup on the field, not giving guys days off. You can't do that anymore. Like, again, we will not try and bring this up all the time, but they still got 10 games against the Yankees. And those 10 games, like no other year, mean more to this team than it ever has. Because they're going to now have to above .500 against that team. You're going to have to win six games. Can you? Like, you know that what they play Boston before and they play the Marlins. You're going to have to win.
I took some grief on social media for saying that, that they had to win six or seven of those 10 games against the Yankees.
You don't have a choice now because you're losing against teams you shouldn't be losing against.
If they finish 500, they'll still make the playoffs. But and this is my point. I don't think the Blue Jays should be looking at just making the playoffs. Like, I'll tell you right now, I'm not entirely certain. If I can get the number seven seed in that playoff, I might be going for that. I'm not going to settle for going in eighth and running into Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs.
I take my chances to get Tampa. I think they play good against Tampa.
They play good, but they don't win. They don't play well enough to win against Tampa.
Yeah, it's not really any home field advantage. It doesn't matter.
They've never been able to beat Tampa. Tampa never has home field advantage.
They
never
have good
fans.
Pitching. So it's going to be close games. It's my point, because now the Blue Jays can match up pitching-wise coming out of the bullpen. Hey.
I think you got to aim higher. I try to displace the Yankees.
Of course, they're going
to
try and win as many games as they possibly can. But question, can they play clean enough baseball to win most of their games from here on? Most of theirs means above 500.
Oh,
clean enough baseball.
Yeah.
Not doing what they did last night, making a key error when it matters, getting picked off when it matters. Can they do that, the Blue Jays?
Can they play games like that? Yeah, they have.
Can they say hit two home runs in a game?
Yeah, they have played
multiple games in a row.
Yeah, I think they can.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get pitching.
Yeah, I'm more bullish.
They're going to get what they get
I'm
from
more
you
bullish in this team than a lot of people are.
Right.
It now appears as if Bo Bichette's probably at one point this year. We didn't think they're going to get him back to the end of September. It looks like he could be back a little soon. Yeah, I'm quite fine where this team is, because I obsess, and you know this, I obsess about pitching. I don't obsess about the hitting. I obsess about pitching.
Pitching, defense, and the little things. Can they do the defense and the little things?
That's the
question I ask you. You can't go, well. And then you just said I'm bullheaded about this team.
No, I just said I'm bullheaded about pitching. Pitching is the thing that matters.
It does.
Everything else is secondary.
Their bullpen's really good, and they have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And if they get Ken Giles back, he's going to be real mad. He's going to, you know how he is.
Yeah, he's going
to
be mad.
So he's going to add something to this team.
Ken Giles is pitching for money too.
Yep,
he's pitching for money, and never underestimate a guy in his late 20s who is pitching for a contract next year.
I think
the one thing
that this year has done for the Blue Jays is told them that they can do it this way. They can get some older starting pitchers and use their bullpen to the fullest.
Bob Nightingale is a national baseball writer with USA Today. A couple of reasons you want to have Bob on. One, Robbie Ray's from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and that's literally in Nightingale's backyard. So he's probably seen Rob Ray more than anybody we're going to have on the show. And we also want to talk about his story yesterday regarding the playoff bubble that appears to be in the process of being agreed to. And an interesting comment from Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers about the impact that may have had on the trade deadline. And Andrew Friedman's line was basically, it's just everybody's got the same idea. Get to the playoffs and roll. It's a three-game series. There's really no benefit right now getting home field advantage. There's no benefit. Maybe what it does do, theoretically, it would give you, if you finish first and you're playing a team had the eighth best record, theoretically, you are playing a team that's worse than you. The problem is that not everybody has seen everybody this year, correct? Not everybody has seen everybody this year. So just because the Blue Jays have the eighth best record in the American League, they haven't played the Twins yet. They haven't played the White Sox yet. They're not going to play the Indians. So nobody's going to know. No one knows what the eighth best record or the first best record really means, because they're not all playing against each other. Anyhow, Bob Nightingale joins us. 590-590 is the text line. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Oh, man. It scared me for a minute there.
What happened?
Oh. This thing won't go in. It won't go in deep enough into this hole here. See, it's kind of, it won't go all the way in. So, it's like it's not firmly in there. Now it's better. Now I can hear. I couldn't hear the music or anything. I was just getting the Marcel Marceau sound of silence in my ear because I didn't have my plug pushed in all the way.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying, my plug wasn't in deep enough, and it sometimes happens. I try to make sure it doesn't happen. But there's a little thing there blocking it. Anyhow, we're all good. 590-590 is the text line. You're looking at me like that. Blue Jays baseball tonight. Blue Jays, Miami Marlins, 6:37. What are you looking at?
Boy.
6:37, first pitch. Just the thingamajig wasn't all the way in.
I'm assuming Bob's glad he called in.
Is Bob here?
Yeah.
We do have Bob here.
Jeff is talking about.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about it. Sorry. You've been around me long enough, though. This probably wasn't.
Most of the time, I don't either, Bob.
Yeah. I was just having problems with that. I'm having problems with the knob here. It's just not. It's not working. It's anyhow. Hey, before we talk about your article yesterday on the baseball bubble and the playoff bubble, I wanted to ask you about Robbie Ray, because obviously you're Arizona based. I think you've probably seen Robbie a fair amount. We saw him last night, 3 1/3 innings, gave up a home run, struck out four guys. Sorry, 3 1/3 innings. I think I said 3 1/3 innings of relief. It looked like the Jays had him pitching up and down a little more instead of side to side.
Yep.
What have you seen from him over the past couple of years that explains sort of the topsy-turvy nature of his performances?
Yeah, I mean, he's been changing mechanics all the time. And then, you know, finally reverting back to what he was a couple of years ago, trying that. But just nothing was working. I mean, obviously, Dimex, you know, made a mistake. They held on to him way too long. They could have got a pretty good amount of prospects coming back a year ago at the trade deadline. You know, even during the winter, they would have. Yeah, the Yankees were big on him last summer. But, yeah, just a, you know, he looked good in training camp. You know, both of them pitching lights out. And then when the season started, they're just getting worse and worse every start. There were several teams interested in him as reliever only. But then as, you know, as it went on and the starts got so bad, you know, just got very little interest. And they weren't going to, you know, give him an offer sheet. They weren't going to tender him a contract. So, you know, it was almost like they had to get something because he wasn't coming back.
Hey, Bob, do you have any idea why a guy that would throw 174 innings, strike out 235 batters, and completely redo his windup? Do you have any idea why he would do that?
I mean, it was just, you know, for the control. I mean, he was, you know, walking a million guys and only going, you know, 5 innings, you know, 6 innings max. And if you only won 5 innings in National League West, it's like, you know, what are you going to do when you go to American League, like the AL East?
Yeah.
So that's why I think teams got scared off even last year, like the Yankees, like, okay, we like this guy, but we don't know if he can perform in the AL East with these lineups. So at least we got something, you know, got something for nothing. And, you know, worst comes to worst, maybe he can, you know, pitch in some mental relief.
Yeah, one of the things that I find really kind of interesting about him and his situation with the Blue Jays is they've been pretty clear, and it's obvious when you look at the construction of their bullpen, Bob, that they're going to be doing – I think they're going to be doing a lot of sort of Milwaukee Brewers stuff from last year. They're going to be doing some funky stuff down the stretch. And I wouldn't, frankly, be surprised if Robbie Ray doesn't spend – most of his time, 90% of his time in the bullpen. And I'm just wondering, is he a guy, we don't know anything about the guy, but is he a guy who is smart enough that at some point in his career, he may look at what happened with a guy like Andrew Miller and say, you know what, I might be able to, you know, I might be able to extend my career a little bit. I might be able to even get a decent contract out of this a couple of years down the road, making the transition Andrew Miller did. Or do you think that he's a guy who sees himself as a starter and he'll, you know, he'll start until he realizes it's not being effective anymore?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think he'll keep on trying to start until, you know, nobody wants him as a starter. They say, okay, I'll try this. Obviously, Andrew Miller's made, you know, himself a nice career out of it and made himself some good money. You know, Ray's a free agent. I'm sure at one point he was looking at a big contract. He was talking about that early in the season, like, hey, I know how big of a year this is going to be for me. I'm not going to try to let it affect me, but I can't help but think about it. You know, and maybe that played a factor too, putting way too much pressure on himself. So, you know, maybe being in, you know, with the Blue Jays and, you know, pitching on relief too, maybe take some pressure off.
Yeah, Bob, before we get into the bubble conversation, I want to ask you about Zach Plesac last night when he pitched. He was unbelievable. I'm assuming that's why it's real easy to get rid of a Clevinger when you have a Plesac. Do you feel the room? Are you anywhere close to, you know, understanding what his teammates think about him as the person?
Well, I think with him, it's like, hey, he's a young guy. He, you know, grew up just about an hour from Chicago. His buddies came to town. It was his first win. Excited, you know, stayed out late, violated, curfew plus the protocols, mm-hmm. and, you know, got caught coming in. But he didn't lie about it. He fessed up and was, you know, on a car, driving back to Cleveland by himself. They were much more upset with Clevinger, who's a veteran, and didn't come forward. I don't know if he lied about it, but, you know, he was out also with Plesac and never told the truth. So I think they're much more upset with him. And I think with Clevinger, too, there was something going on there. It was almost like this was the last straw. It kind of reminds you of the Trevor Bauer mm-hmm. last year when he threw the ball over mm-hmm. the center field fence in frustration in Kansas City. And Francona told the front office, okay, that's it. I kind of get the same feeling with Clevinger, like this was just the latest thing.
Tell us a little bit about the plans for the playoff bubble. I know they've not been signed off on yet, but you know, look, baseball would have to be silly, Bob, seeing how successful this has been in the NBA and the NHL. They'd have to be silly not to entertain it for the playoffs. And it would seem to me, you know, reading your article yesterday and knowing a little bit about all the ballparks they're talking about, as you point out, there are tons of hotels within walking distance. Like it makes perfect sense logistically to try to do the bubble format. Are they basically set on the cities right now, and it's just a matter of trying to get the Players Association to agree to the details of it?
Yeah, they are set in the cities. I mean, it's going to be Houston and Arlington where the Rangers play, and then the three Southern California cities and San Diego, Anaheim, and L.A. They just don't want to take any chance of some outbreak, in the postseason being delayed by a couple of weeks or even – a week like what happened with the Oakland A's. We're talking about one guy who was a staff member, you know, that tested positive, and they're shut down for a week. So they just don't want to take that chance. And this way, hey, everybody stays in one place. And, like you said, I mean, in Houston and in San Diego, there's ballparks right in Arlington. Ballparks, hotels right there. You just walk to. You don't even have to take a bus. So it actually works out perfect. And the reason that you're still going to have the National League teams go to Texas just because they don't want to have San Diego or the Dodgers have home field advantage. And likewise, they don't want the Astros to have home field advantage, moving them to so have the whole American League go to Southern California.
Okay, Bob, let me put you on the spot. Who do you think's got the better chance of beating the Dodgers? Could be in the National League, could be in the American League. Who do you got? Who do you think?
I'll go with the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't think anybody in the National League has a chance. I really don't. My predictions start the year. I didn't change it because usually when you change it, you mess up your score like in high school. It was Oakland A's playing the Dodgers. The Dodgers winning it all. But Oakland's a very good team. So are the Rays. I think both those teams are better than the Yankees, to tell you the truth.
I got to ask you, because I know you're an old Padres beat writer as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking of some of you guys. You know, I was thinking of Kernan and Bloom and you and the guys who spent a lot of time around that team. It must have been kind of cool seeing the Padres be shakers and movers at the deadline, because they're a funky team. I think a lot of people kind of like the Padres.
And there's some too of that, Bob, of it's about time. They're all in.
Yeah, I mean, 2006 was the last playoff, or, you know, nine straight losing seasons. It's like enough already. It's like, the same version of the Seattle Mariners. It's
right.
Like, you know, you keep spinning players around and nothing ever happens. So, yeah, and I like the fact that, you know, they went for it. And, you know, Clevinger's under control for two more years. And they still never traded their top guys. So, you know, it's still the Dodgers division to lose, almost like the Atlanta Braves back in the day. But at least the Padres can get some competition here.
Bob, good stuff as always, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. All right. Take care, Jeff.
Take care. See you around. It's Bob Nightingale, national baseball writer with USA Today. That Padres beat, man, was has some great writers. That was such a – Jack Murphy Stadium was such a fun place to go and watch a game.
Yeah.
The Padres are always kind of – The Padres are one of those teams that I just found them cool. I just like the Padres. I love Tony Gwynn. I like going to San Diego to cover baseball. It's just such a.
When great I played city. For the Padres, the only thing I remember is Barry Bonds. We were playing them. Hit a home run off the scoreboard.
Jack Murphy?
In right. Yeah. Well, it's sort of right center, right? But it's
oh my God.
Way back on the concourse and like.
Yeah, it's a football score. It's a football scoreboard.
Feet up, he hit it in the daytime. That's the only thing I remember. Because I was only there like 3 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Klesko, I think, got hurt and I got called up. And that's the only reason I was there. But that's the only thing I can remember.
That's a poke.
And Trevor Hoffman threw him a 0-0 changeup. And he hit it right down the line in like the third deck.
Yeah.
And that's even Trevor couldn't believe. You know, that's when Trevor was throwing 98 with the yo-yo changeup, the Bugs Bunny thing. And he took a first pitch changeup and just – listen, he did it better than anybody.
I was one of the best, you know, one of the best sort of sights and sounds in baseball was when Trevor Hoffman was dominating and he'd come in and they'd play Hell's Bells by ECDC and he'd come in and it was cool. It's fun to see the Padres. It's fun to see the Padres playing meaningful baseball because, as I said, it's such a crazy ass franchise. It really is.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of really just silly history to
And the Dodgers are getting a little bit like the Patriots.
The Dodgers
are just getting tired of seeing them win. You want somebody else to
win. The Dodgers,
like, they have such a good farm system, are doing everything great.
Yeah, except there's one thing they don't do:
win a World Series.
Win a World Series.
Well, that's Kershaw.
But I'm with you. I'm tired. I'm tired of the same old song and dance with the Dodgers. I'm tired of seeing them crap the bed.
They dominate the regular season. Yeah, they get in the playoffs.
Go away.
You know, it's so analytically heavy where they mess up their lineups and Kershaw's not any good because he's not throwing his breaking ball. He is throwing his breaking ball this year 60% of the time.
If the Dodgers aren't going to win the World Series, I don't want them in the playoffs.
Don't even pay any attention to them.
No.
Regular season.
No. I don't know. I just don't want them in the playoffs.
No.
I find them remarkably, for a great team, and they are a great team, they are remarkably boring.
Okay, I did hear you say there on Blue Jay Central that you were disappointed that they didn't do anything.
Yeah,
what would you want them to do? They're the best. They have the best ERA in baseball.
They've always
had
that.
They're like fourth best in OPS.
They've always had that.
As hitting, they just broke a National League record
always
in a month for hitting home run. What do you want them to do?
What I want them to do, I wanted them to add another pitcher that allowed them to go absolutely nuclear. Because
you can't
first of
win
all,
with Bueller and,
you haven't been
and
able
May
to.
And Kershaw.
You haven't been able to.
And Canley Jansen's got to step up. If you can't win with that.
Kevin, you haven't.
You don't deserve to win.
You haven't been able
and
to
win. And the lineup that you have.
You haven't been able to win with that lineup for the past 4 years.
Well, how about you pencil in the same lineup, no matter who's on the mound against you?
Hopefully it does.
Because it hasn't worked the way they've been doing it.
They needed to go out and get another starting pitcher
and just go nuclear. Well, you're begging.
Just go nuclear.
You are begging.
Well, you watch. You watch what happens.
Because Clayton Kershaw is going to give it up.
That's
the reason why they would lose.
They're not getting out of the National League. Dodgers are not getting out of the National League.
Who beats them?
Doesn't matter. They're not getting out of the
National
League. Don't say the Padres. They're not getting out of the National League, man. They're not getting out of the National League.
I just don't see any other lineup can match up with them.
Well,
they just put way too much pressure on starting pitching.
590 is a text line. We got to get
tell Jeff he's crazy.
Well, yeah, you can tell me I'm crazy. I don't give a rat's ass about that. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, the Dodgers have been the best team in baseball now for about 50 years.
They have,
and they don't
win.
And they don't win.
You're right.
They don't win.
I'm with you.
So how can you say they're going to win? What is the difference this year? What is the difference this year? Nothing. It's the same old
Mookie
Dodgers.
Betts. That's the difference.
Anyhow.
Well, they got two MVPs on their team. That's the difference. Well, you said, what's the difference? I just gave you a real answer.
590 is a text line. Yeah. 590 is a text line. We'll get to it. You can tell Barker he's full of beans.
Well, he ain't. He ain't full of that.
It's Baseball Central and Sportsnet 590, the fan. Yes, you are.
Not
you're
a
completely
chance.
Full of beans. You're so wrong, Barker, by the way.
Not a chance.
Dodgers aren't making it out. You know what's going to happen?
Name a time when I've been wrong. Name one.
Well, I can't remember. There's so many of them. Last Wednesday.
What'd I say?
I don't know, but you were wrong last Wednesday. Cincinnati Reds. If they get first round against the Dodgers, they're beating the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They're beating the Dodgers.
Stop watching the MLB Network.
What?
That's who said that.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No, it's an original
You can't teach people how to win. Okay. Just saying.
Dave and Barry says, sorry, Kevin. Blair is right in this one. The Dodgers are going to choke like an old man in a fishbone.
I didn't say they were not going to choke. I said it's up to the same two people I've always said it's going to be. You were asking me why they're better this year. I said Mookie Betts. You have two MVPs offensively, and your outfield's better. But I said Clayton Kershaw has to be whatever he is better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Kenley Jansen.
Dodgers won't. A 50-year Dodger fan says Dodgers won't win the World Series until Dave Roberts is replaced.
He's absolutely right. It has nothing. You really think that he's the one writing out the line of card? Turn the page on this. People should know. People that watch baseball consistently in 2020 know better. Just look at some of the things that are done, and you go, Danny Jansen hit third for the Blue Jays. Do you really think that Charlie's sitting around going, hey, let's go. Where can we put this 150 hitter in? I ain't at third ever. So let's put him there. No chance. Come on.
Anyhow. If you're Dave Roberts, man, stand up to your front office. Stand up to your front office.
You'd rather get that 3-year deal, but
stand up to your front office. Going to say, hey, Andrew, you know all the stuff
you think that happened?
Andrew, Mr. Friedman. Andrew, all the stuff you've been doing for the last 3 years. Guess what? How many World Series rings do I have? Jack squat. I have Jack squat World Series rings. 590-590 is the text line. Please throw your name and location on so I know you're legit.
Well, you can't be legit if you don't know your name.
Stop it. Not addressing the catching deficiencies will cost us the playoffs. McGuire is awful. Hasn't had an RBI since opening day. In games like last night, that is the difference between a win or a loss.
Can't argue that. The bottom of the order, when you're not scoring runs, and the bottom of your order has Derek Fisher in it, and the spotlight is put on that.
He's got five tools.
He's got five tools.
Bad runner. They're not good tools.
Because he's never on base.
No, they're not good tools. You know what they're like? He's got the five tools. You know, you used to get your kid, right? They got the wooden tools with the big wooden peg and the big wooden screw and the...
Yeah,
but he's got a bunch of big wooden tools that don't work. Anyhow, let's hang on here though. Let's hang on here. Yeah, the catching deficiencies aren't going to cost the Jays the playoffs.
Yeah, neither one of those catchers are running the bases bad either. They're not making errors in the field.
At no point in the season,
they're just not hitting.
At no point in the season did any of us look at Danny Jansen or Reese McGuire and say, "Man, they got to come through for them." But I have
more than once. Occasionally in a sixth inning, you got to get a hang of breaking ball, leg something, and get your name in the paper.
Danny Jansen's not carrying you to the playoffs.
But nobody's carry. Carry's a large word.
I did think that the Jays would at the deadline. That's why I thought when Cleveland got Austin Hedges, I thought, okay, the Jays are going to make a call to Cleveland. Get Austin Hedges. He's not going to help you offensively, but he's going to help you with pitching. He's a veteran. He knows his way. That's where we are.
That's hard for you to say that when Danny Jansen's your boy, huh?
Danny Jansen. I cheer for Danny Jansen.
I do as the person, and I know how hard he works, which is very hard behind the plate. I just think we may be a little unfair to him.
This is interesting. Dave in Collingwood. Hey, guys, why was Teoscar given a night off when he's on fire?
We don't know. No idea.
We don't know.
I'd mentioned that was the 19th game of a 28 game in 27 days.
Dave also asks, is it a problem that Montoyo seemingly bails out Vladdy's base running by saying it happens all over baseball? Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I would never say that.
No, but you were...
Hold a higher standard to your team, yes.
Okay. You think you the best player on your team?
Yes. Right. Well, is Vladdy the best? Vladdy need to be the next... 3 years from now.
Hang on for a minute.
With Bo Bichette, the best player on your team.
Hang on for a minute. First of all, Charlie's right. It is happening all over baseball.
That's not... Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about what you're doing.
Now you're talking about... Yeah, Vladdy and Bo have to be my two best players on the team.
Listen, it's core awareness. That's what I said. And there has to be that guy that can... From your peers. Trust me, I've been in so many locker rooms when the manager comes in and flips the table. It doesn't work. You laugh at him because he's not the one doing it.
By the way...
He's not out there.
Joseph from Mississauga says he was, this is true. Someone better Google this, so I'm going to say it anyhow. Mm. Joseph from Mississauga says, you know what I found yesterday?
Talk to me.
I was looking for a portable toilet. I found one. It's called Jimmy John's, but it's spelled differently.
That's tremendous.
So we just had to throw that out there.
There you go.
Anyhow,
well, then maybe they need to find their Jimmy Johns for base running.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Ha ha. But.
Well, let's talk about Vladdy, because here's the thing. I think back to what Bobby Meacham, when Bobby Meacham was on this show a couple of years ago talking about Vladdy, when Vladdy was up at AAA, and he made the point that he told Vladdy, I want you to understand that you are great. I want you to know that you are not just employee number 27. You are the guy that everybody's going to look at.
Yeah.
You are the guy that everybody's going to watch.
Yeah.
If you half-ass it during BP, they're going to half-ass it during BP. If you bust your ass, they're going to bust their ass. Mm. So I get that as a minor leaguer when you are the top prospect.
Mm.
At this point, though, I have no problem with, first of all, we don't know what Charlie said to him in private.
No. Nope.
We don't know.
No.
But at this point, I have no problem with the manager stepping up publicly and protecting his players. I don't, because, again, if here's the thing.
I mean, if it was the first time it ever happened, I can understand it. It's not.
No,
it's,
but
it's happened multiple times. That's when you come out and say, that's not the Blue Jay way.
We don't know. But we don't know what Charlie said to him privately.
Don't say it that way. Say it's been addressed and we're going to try and not do it again.
That's fair.
How about that?
That's fair.
Don't blame the league.
And Andrew from Saskatoon says, of Derek Fisher's five tools, which one will get him DFA'd? I don't know what he has to do to get DFA'd. I swear to God, I don't know what he has to do to get DFA'd. I mean, I would have DF freaking ate him a long time ago.
I just know I would have loved to hit a buck 80 and be able to stay to big leagues. I hit 240, got sent down to double A. Games are changing, buddy.
Anyhow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Everybody, you know, every organization, every general manager, they've got a guy.
They got a guy that
for whatever reason,
that
everybody
they've come
loves.
Out and said has five tools. And
yeah, well, maybe not five tools.
Well, there you go.
Anyhow.
I mean, he doesn't play every day. It's hard to, when he does play, he's not great at it.
Jeff in Port Elgin says Yamaguchi's cost them four games.
Yeah, I mean.
It has a 4.11 ERA.
It's real hard to be hard on the bullpen. It really is.
Me too.
There's so many other things you can attack.
I'm with you.
Probably if this is a normal season, we're not talking about the Blue Jays in the playoffs. Yeah. It's really that simple.
There you go. Mr. Barker, thanks for doing this. We'll attempt
way
to perform.
Way to carry the show, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll attempt to perform magic again tomorrow. Same time.
Yeah.
Jays and Marlins tonight. Don't go yet. We're still on the air.
Here.
Okay. Jays and Marlins tonight. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to the bullpen to bring Brunt in for Barker. Writer's Block is next on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Sit your ass down here. Don't go anywhere. We're not done yet.